Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo and happy New Year's Eve to you. I am sure that you're just getting ready for a lot of fun activities and so much going on. The people in New York are getting all revved up and prepared for the big happening this evening. And there's just this feeling of excitement. 2009 has been a very difficult year for a lot of people, and as always, New Year's represents an opportunity for newness. It is an opportunity to take advantage of what we feel is opportunity, the big O. Well, I thought I'd share with you today, because this is an open mic day. I didn't schedule any guests today. So if you'd like to call in at any time during the hour, feel free to do so. The telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. You can call in at any time during the hour, and I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Why is New Year's Eve such a big deal? Well, as far back as I can remember, people, anytime they could have an excuse for a party, they always wanted to, you know, celebrate. And I think New Year's Eve is exactly that. But there's a lot of history that goes back with New Year's Eve. And New Year's Eve celebrations of a lot of people century ago was a celebration of time before time, as it was called. And they would do very much what we would do here today. They'd party. Sometimes they had, you know, special outfits that they would wear. They'd have masks. And this was centuries ago. And they'd wear these masks and they were communicating with those on the other side. They were saying goodbye to what was no longer going to be in their life and welcoming in the new. Well, that's exactly what we do today. And these people, they beat drums, they just would raise this very, very loud cry, this very loud commotion, because they wanted to scare away, they wanted to send away the ghosts of the past. Whatever didn't work, then they wanted to send it out of the picture totally. And they were known on their New Year's Eve celebrations. Their New Year's Eve celebrations were rather robust with fights and all kinds of arguments. So, you know, this is just such an ancient type of a celebration that sometimes we forget that we're really not that different from the people of old. We always enjoy a party. And, of course, this is really winter. And if you think about it, centuries ago, people did not have electricity. So to be able to welcome in a new year, and, of course, the Chinese New Year comes, you know, after our New Year, and they always are celebrating. It's such a wonderful celebration. If ever you have a chance to attend a Chinese New Year, you should, because it is absolutely marvelous. They just do so much. It's so colorful. Just absolutely, absolutely a wonderful experience. So, again, New Year's Eve, it reflects the hope of the person that we want to expect to be in the new year, and it's the same hope, the same desire that has been with people throughout the centuries. Now, the song Auld Lang Syne, the one that we have been singing for generations, that came from the Scots. And it's always, if you've been at a number of celebrations where I'm sure you have, it's singing Auld Lang Syne, you know, Auld Lang Syne, and just saying, oh, it's just absolutely wonderful, and it closes everything out, and there's this wonderful, wonderful feeling after you sing it. It's a great song. It's got something that's wonderful to it in its tonality. Well, this is a remnant of a broader custom of ending all parties with a song. That's right. It wasn't just for New Year's. And people would join hands in a circle, and it was very traditional. It originated in the British Isles around the end of the 18th century. And it was so popular in Scotland because the lyrics of the song were written in 1788 by Scotland's national folk poet, who is Robert Burns. And it was the Burns version was first printed in the song collection, the Scots Musical Museum, that was published in 1796. And that was the year that he passed away. Now, the Burns version is one kind, that's the original. But British opera composer William Shield used the song in his 1783 work, Rosina. And there was a 17th century writer, Francis Semple, and to one of the first Scot writers to use English, Shakespeare's contemporary Sir Robert Ayton. So they feel that the tune originally that was used by Robert Burns was a traditional Scottish folk melody. And they just tinkered with the words, and Robert Burns himself apparently left a written statement that he took down the basics from an old man who he happened to hear singing, and the old man had told him it was a very old song of olden times, Auld Lang Syne. And in the Scots language, it means old long since, or maybe the good old days. So that just gives you a little bit of trivia regarding a holiday that we all enjoy. And, of course, one of my favorite parts of New Year's is the Rose Parade in California. I was born and raised in California, and I'll tell you, if ever you have a chance to go see the Rose Parade on New Year's Day, I would strongly encourage you to do it because it is one of the most spectacular experiences you will ever have. And after the parade is over with, I know it's really tough getting tickets many times, and you just have to find out where you can park, and there's just tens of thousands of people that turn out for it every year. But when you can, after the parade is over, go to where they have the floats stationed. It will absolutely amaze you because there are so many thousands of people that volunteer to decorate these floats. And when you see them up close, it's just breathtakingly beautiful. And when you think of all the work that people put in year-round to make them happen on New Year's Day, all of the organization, everything that it takes to coordinate it. If you have a chance, tomorrow morning, I know here on the West Coast they'll be showing it at 8 o'clock in the morning, but if you can, wherever you are, if you can watch it, and if you ever have the opportunity to go, do so. You will never regret the experience because it's absolutely awesome. Donna Sebo here. We've got an open mic day. And if you would like to call in and chat with me on this New Year's Eve, call me at 888-815-9756. New Year's, tomorrow, first day of the new year. There's going to be some suggestions that I want to share with you during the show today, and they've come from different people and things that they like to do with the new year. And it's a great opportunity to sit down and be with yourself and ask yourself, what happened this last year? What is it that I really feel I accomplished? And what do I feel I didn't get done? And just take the time to write it out. Now, this shouldn't be something where you're criticizing yourself or you're trying to make yourself out to be super person or anything else. Just have a candidness. And then ask yourself, if you could do anything you wanted to do, what would you like to do? And so often, we get rather flippant when we think about these things, but if we're really true to ourselves and take the time to ask the right questions, we sometimes might be surprised by what our response might be. I have a very good friend, and I got an email from her this morning. And in the email, she said, you know, I'm a type A personality, and for so many years, I was a professional person, and I was out there, and I was on time, and I was super performer, and I did all of these things, and I just had to keep reaching and reaching and reaching. And she said, finally, about 2 years ago, I realized that I needed to really ask myself what I really wanted. And in her email, she said, I have found that I really like a simple life. I really want to have the time to enjoy the quietness of a moment, to not be on the treadmill of action like I was for so many years. She said, I don't regret it, but that's not what I want to do with my life now. And she said, I really feel that a lot of the challenges I had came about in my life because I wasn't honest about what meant the most to me, because I felt that this is what I was supposed to do, because these were standards that people around her said, this is where you should be. This is what you should be doing. And this was over and over again, and she would meet expectations that other people expressed, and then she would say, well, I'll do one better than that. And she said, now I find my life is so rich, and she's always enjoyed art. And now she's gotten involved in working with a select group of clients, and she does their websites, but she said, I'm doing it at my own pace, and I'm doing it my way, and I'm just so happy. And I don't care if I ever make $1 million or not. Well, that's not for everybody. But for her, it came to that point of being totally honest about herself. And one of the things that she said she had to get over was a fear of failure, a feel of being economically destitute. She finally was able to give herself enough downtime where she could wrap her mind around the concept of being still long enough where she could pay attention to what really mattered the most to her. And she said, I feel like I'm more successful now than I've ever been at any other time in my life. And all I can say is this is marvelous. We each have our own journey to travel. There is no failure in life, excepting if you sit in a chair, bemoan your circumstances, feel sorry for yourself, and never get up and do anything. If you are afraid of rejection, then that is a challenge that you are going to need to deal with, because we all get rejection. There's no one on this planet that's not rejected for some reason or another. I wanted to share some stories with you about different people that have gone through rejections and have really felt they didn't know what to do. One was an aspiring young writer. He got a rejection letter from a poetry editor of a particular publication. And this writer had sent in a number of poems. The writer was about 28 years of age, and he was sent this very curt note. Our magazine has no room for your vigorous verse. However, he didn't buy into that. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, he felt. But he continued his writing, and we know him today as Robert Frost, very, very well-known poet. The University of Bern turned down a PhD dissertation because it was absolutely ridiculous, totally fanciful, and not relevant to anything that they felt it should have been. Now, there was a young physics student that had submitted this. He didn't like their rejection. And he just said, well, I'm going to continue on with what I know I need to do. And he took what they called frivolous ideas, and they became widely accepted theories. Who was this physicist or physics student? Albert Einstein. And then there was a 16-year-old who found a note from a teacher when he was in England, Harrow, England, and it was attached to his postcard. On there were five words, and they were a conspicuous lack of success. Quite audacious on the part of the teacher, don't you think? Well, this young man said, forget you. And he went on to become one of the most famous speakers of the 20th century. Who was he? Winston Churchill. There are so many times we're going to encounter people who are going to be very opinionated. I know I had it when I put out my children's book. I had people say the words you're using in your children's book are just too big for the little minds. I got news for you. I sat in front of three-year-olds that could understand it better than the adults did. Then I was told it was just something that was not appropriate. Well, 17,000 items later, I mean, this book is in the families and homes of families all over the world. So I look at these things and I resonate with them. And I can remember how many times through my life, especially being in the psychic area, there were discriminations made. People making statements, not understanding what I was about or what I was doing, no matter how well I communicated. And they would just say, this is stupid. This is absolutely asinine. You don't know what you're doing. Don't waste my time. And here I am today, doing a worldwide broadcast, talking about things like this and bringing people in from all over the world who have knowledge and wisdom and understanding that can be shared with you, the listening audience. Now, a lot of people would have said it's not possible. And lots of times in life, you're going to have the door slammed in your face so many times, it's not even funny. And you have to ask yourself, what is most meaningful to you? What is it that you would like to really celebrate this new year? Now, I've got some wonderful tips that people have sent me, and things that they do, little rituals that they perform on New Year's. And one of them that I want to share with you, and perhaps you have been aware of it, it's called the Burning Bowl Ceremony. And this I first experienced when I was at a Unity church a number of years ago, and I went to a service, a midnight service, and I really liked it. Now, I had done something like this myself many, many years ago on my own, but it wasn't for this particular type of situation. And what we did at the Burning Bowl Ceremony at Unity is they gave us paper and they gave us, we had pens, obviously, or pencils with us, and if we didn't have one, they supplied it. And they said, what we want you to do is to write down on a piece of paper all of the difficulties, the tough times that you had, any regrets that you may have had, and take your time writing it out. And so they'd play some music, and you had the time to write it out. But this was a very personal thing. You weren't to share it with anyone. And then, sometimes at the Burning Bowl Ceremony, they would say, then write out what you really want to have in your life. So you had both of these things on a piece of paper. And you would then take the opportunity. They had a big bowl in which they had it in sand. And this big bowl had a fire inside of it. And you would just go down and they'd say, when you take this list up, know that you're going to be burning everything from the previous year and you are going to be starting brand new, and that your hopes, your aspirations, everything that you have put down on that piece of paper is going to blend with that you're getting rid of, and it's going to go up into the universe. And so that's what was done. And it was a wonderful ceremony. I found it so fascinating to watch the people, because when you did this, and everybody has their troubles, everybody has their challenges, but on New Year's Eve to be able to do this, to thoughtfully go through and to have the time, have beautiful music in the background, to write out whatever it is that you have gone through. Maybe you've had some rough times financially, maybe you've lost a job, maybe you've had illness in the family, maybe you've lost someone that you love a great deal. And you just release it and you trust and you let it go. You've already been there, you've already done that, and you don't need to repeat it again. And when you can release like that, it's that physical activity, there is just like a big weight that seems to be taken off of you. And then when you also realize that you have things that you're aspiring for, things that you want to do, it just allows you to cross that bridge into newness, to cross that bridge into a different level of thinking. And it's wonderfully, wonderfully refreshing. It really is. It's a wonderful little ceremony you can do on your own if you have a particular place that you can just have some quiet time and write out what it is you want to release. But also take the time to write out what you expect to receive. And just know that you can have it. You can have it all. You really can. But sometimes before you can have something come into your life, you're going to have to release what it is that you don't want. There needs to be an opening. There needs to be some space. And I know my mentor many years ago said to me, Donna, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. And that's an old story. It comes out of the Bible, but it's been a story told many, many times. So she says, the nature abhors a void. So when you're getting ready to shift out of a certain patterning, you have to have something that you can put in its place. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself sliding back with the old patternings again. So she said it takes thinking, it takes conscious attention, sort of like learning new eating habits or disciplines of any kind, and making a point that this is what you do, and maybe you did something else, and so now you're replacing it, and you need to be sure that you're consciously present with that replacement so that it fills what otherwise would be a void where old bad habits might come back in, or anything else that you might be concerned with. So just keep that in mind. It's something that can work for you. It is something that can make a difference in your life. This is Donna Sebo, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Oh, and I've got a recipe that I wanted to share with you. This is so good for a weekend breakfast. I don't know about you, but whenever my husband and I can sit down and have a nice Sunday breakfast together, usually I fix up something very special, and then I sit and I read because he likes for me to read to him. And I have all kinds of material. I may go through 3 to 4 books sometimes on a Sunday and just sharing different thoughts, and we have conversation. It's really a wonderful routine that we've enjoyed for a long time, but that's when we have the time to do it. And so this is something, this recipe, it's what they might call hash browns, but I call them chunky potatoes. And it's something that I fix, and it's good with scrambled eggs, and you can make it with sweet potatoes, white potatoes. But anyway, I've got a little bit of something I'll share with you, so have a pad of paper and a pen handy. And again, let me share with you a poem from Danny George, because so many of you that are out there are experiencing snow. Snowflakes with fleeting faces call out, come and play. Catch me on your tongue if you can on this blustery winter's day. Yes, that's the way we need to be. We need to remember being like a child is a very, very good idea. So I wanted to share that with you. Also, I had some other tips. There are so many concerns because of inflation, and inflation is affecting all of us, especially in the supermarket. When you go shopping, if you think about previous prices and you go look at your meat and other things, you're just going, oh my goodness. Well, they are speculating that food prices are going to be increasing by over 5% by 2010. Meat and dairy, they expect, are the ones that are going to be the hardest hit. And if you keep your eye on prices at the gas pump, you're going to find that as they go up, it's a good indicator of upcoming increases in food prices. Because when filling your tank becomes more costly for you, keep eyes out for specials that you can put in your freezers. And the reason those food costs go up is because as transportation costs go up, it has to be passed along to the consumer, and that is nothing new. But that's a good thing to be alert to because it can make you aware that maybe you need to put things on, you know, just keep your eyes open for those specials or for those particular cuts of meat that maybe you like. I know we have a place that's local in our neighborhood area that has certain times of the year where they'll have specials on certain meats. And it's buying it in bulk. But then if you have a good freezer, then you can cut it up. Or maybe you've got a friend. You know, sometimes people like to share the costs on things, and that's not a bad idea. When it comes to working out a budget, goodness, I've done that with friends for so many years where maybe we'd buy a large amount of meat or maybe a whole bunch of eggs or something like this because of a special that was going on, and then we'd just divvy up the costs. And it helped everybody that was involved. So keep that in mind. Sometimes there may be neighbors or, again, good friends that would just be more than happy to share groceries with you. If you're going to pick them up, they'll say, okay, I'll split the cost with you, and everybody is going to get a piece of that bargain. So it is a good thing. Donna Sebo here, open mic hour, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. I want to let you know who's coming on next week. We're going to be in the new year. Yep, that's it, 2010. Well, my first guest of the new year is going to be Muriel Crawford. We're going to be talking about smoking, 201 reasons to quit, and she's got them listed quite nicely. So I think that it's well worth listening to. Also, Mary Claire O'Neill is going to help us start off the new year becoming what you want to see in the world. Many times people will get stuck or feel like they're stuck in life, and when they start taking some time to make some personal assessments, they realize maybe they want to do something that's going to have a meaning and make a difference for other people. Well, we're going to find out what suggestions Mary Claire will have for us. Strong Kids, Healthy Kids, Frederick Hahn. This is a man who is totally dedicated to youngsters, wanting them to be physically fit, and wanting parents to get off this yo-yo diet stuff. So many times kids are told they've got to be on diets rather than understanding what they need to do to encourage the kids to be active. We've become a very sedentary society. It used to be kids used to walk to school and walk here and walk there and walk everywhere and had physical education classes and were out there just burning up energy all the time. Well, things have changed, and a lot of schools have cut out a lot of physical activities. So he has some wonderful, wonderful suggestions. Randy Rogers, on Thursday of next week, The Key of Life, we're going to be finding out about his metaphysical journey that he experienced. And then Sammy Thompson is going to be my guest on Friday. We're going to be hearing her beautiful harp music that will be accompanied by a fabulous, fabulous guitarist who is world-renowned. So Sammy is going to be with us a week from tomorrow. Now, tomorrow there is going to be a pre-recorded program, and you will be hearing that on New Year's Eve day because I, like you, will be with family and friends, and so consequently we are going to be doing that. So I know that you're going to be having a good time, and I'll tell you, I am too. I am looking forward to it. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756 on this open mic day, so give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I want to mention something to you. If you are doing payments online with your credit cards, be alert. Maybe you need to set up something in your alert system on your computer, if you're on there all the time, that's going to make you aware of certain due dates, because many times emails, for whatever reasons, will slip off in cyberspace. And this happened to me recently. And you need to be aware that you have some kind of a reminder that if you know that you're going to be getting a billing at a certain time and you need to automatically send in a payment, if you've got a credit card payment, you don't want to miss it, you might not get that email reminder from the company. It may not show up. And you may just totally forget about it if you're incredibly busy. So do use your own reminder system, because that happened to me. I was supposed to get something. Apparently, one email went and bounced back to them. So I had no way of knowing that this was coming up. So often they'll say, do you want to have this instead of paper? Well, that's fine. Go and do it. But be sure you set up a reminder for yourself, because sometimes computer systems can get a little wacky. And there's some other little tidbits that I want to share with you, but I'm going to do that in just a few minutes. We'll be going to break in just a little bit. And again, if you want to give me a call today on this open mic, New Year's Eve day, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into, and I'll be glad to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Now, I've got some information here on nano sheets. Have you ever heard of carbon nanotubes? Well, they came around in 1991, and people just thought that this was better than, you know, jelly donuts. So right now, they are finding they are going to be able to build with these incredibly strong structures, such as a space elevator. Well, I'll tell you more about that after we come back. Donna Sebo here, open mic on this New Year's Eve day. Give me a call if you like it, 888-815-9756. 9756. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat this New Year's Eve day, 888-815-9756. Carbon nanotubes. Well, they are just absolutely amazing. Now, they have believed they could build, I mentioned to you before we went on break, something about a space elevator. Well, how about 62,000 miles worth of nanosheets? Well, that is exactly what they think they're going to be able to do. Now, it's not been easy to mass produce these nanotubes that are long enough so that engineers can really create this wonderful space elevator. But there's a NanoComp Technologies. They're in Concord, New Hampshire. They're trying to bring this closer into a form of reality by producing in bulk yarns and sheets made from carbon nanotubes. Now, carbon nanotubes look like rolled up tubes of chicken wire, but they're not made of metal. It's made from a hexagonal lattice of carbon atoms. Now, each tube is about 1 nanometer, 1 billionth of a meter. I mean, this is tiny. This is really, really tiny in diameter, and that's why they've got the name of nanotubes. Now, they're commonly today produced in segments about 10,000 nanometers long, and that creates a black powder. And the powder, well, it demonstrates only a small fraction of the useful properties of these phenomenal nanotubes. They feel, this company does, in Concord, New Hampshire, that they're going to be able to produce nanotubes that are tens to hundreds of times as long, forming carbon yarns and sheets, yarns up to 1 kilometer in length, with a tensile strength better than steel, and sheets made in 18 square foot sections. Really strong stuff. So they're making lightweight antennas from this material right now, cables, and electromagnetic interference shields for the military and aerospace markets. Now, the weight of this is just next to nothing, and they feel that it's going to be very useful for longer-range flight vehicles. Now, they're working with the Office of Naval Research and the U.S. Army's Natick Soldier Center to also develop better body armor. Science is there. When somebody has a concept or idea, it takes that individual that can say, how can we make this work? What can we do? That's innovative thinking. And it's marvelous when people utilize it, because it is always going to be the case that we can improve on anything that we're doing. Last evening, I was watching a program done by a photographer, and this was on nature, and perhaps you even had the opportunity to see it yourself. Now, I wasn't able to watch all of it. I was busy working, but I happened to see about, the last 20 minutes or so. This photographer, who was using equipment that 10 years ago just wasn't available, and he and his associate who were photographing underwater, it was amazing what they were able to do, and finding out about different species of fish underneath the water and the interrelationships of species that are in the ocean that we are just finally, because of technology and people like this gentleman who going down underwater, being in with sharks and all kinds of critters, taking his life in his own hands in many respects to explore, to find out how can we make our world a better place? What can we learn about the ecosystems of the oceans? And to see him, he focused on marlin. And this is a phenomenal fish. And I know very little about it. I know that I walked into someone's office in Tacoma, Washington many years ago, and they had caught a marlin. And a marlin has always been a challenge for sports fishermen. Ernest Hemingway wrote about the marlins, and he was an avid fisherman. He'd go down into Mexico. Well, now the marlins in Mexico and the fishing industry that was so prolific there a few generations ago is non-existent now because of overfishing. And this is something that he was bringing out, that he was showing a whole picture, an overview of both the lifestyles of different people, the economics of fishing, and how we have to be more aware that we are depleting so much. So I look at all of this technology and I think how wonderful it is that we are able to get information from point A to point B in really relatively short periods of time. Doesn't mean that we're going to be able to implement the changes as quickly, but it means it gives us the opportunity to pass along our information, and that is what he did. He's carrying on, I think, a tradition that Jacques Cousteau did for so many years, and I can remember people like Jacques Cousteau going around doing talks, having members of staff doing talks, and being able to really impress people with the importance of taking care of our environment. And that was a number of years ago, and it's still being carried on today because of what he and his group of people did. They even have an institute back on the East Coast that's in teaching and working with young people of generations that maybe did not see what they saw, but they are able to move forward because they know time is of the essence. So all of this comes about because somewhere someone says, we can do it better. How can we do it better? Now, we're also learning that in doing it better, we have to understand recycle. If what we're making is going to be toxic and pollute, destroy, and degenerate environment, then what else can we do? How else can we make our environment healthier? How else can we make it better? And this is all something that's going to be on the burner constantly with resources and information developing on an ongoing basis. It really makes life very interesting. Oh, happiest decisions in 2010. Okay, are you a person that just says, oh, I have a tough time making decisions? Well, if you want to ask me about something, give me a call, 888-815-9756. But if you've got a big issue, something like, gee whiz, do I really want to buy a house at this time? Should I relocate for a job? Key decisions. There is usually a practice that works out quite nicely, and that is you need to say a decision date. And you need to put it in writing. And it enables you to stop flip-flopping. If you don't set a timeline of a type, you're going to find that not deciding is going to be your decision. You're not going to get things done. So there is a gentleman by the name of Michael McGrath who said that we need to realize that 50% of us make key decisions by deciding not to make a decision, which is in truth making a decision. So if you want to get out of that modality, then put a date. And then also, what if you're in the what-if situation and you start going through your mind and maybe you're out job hunting and you go, oh, gee whiz, what if I don't like such and such? What if I don't want to do this? What if? How many times do we get on that hamster's wheel of what if? Well, all you need to do is say, what if I had something I loved? And just make it okay. If we make up our minds to be miserable, I guarantee you, you're going to have a wonderfully unhappy experience of being miserable. So try to take whatever situation you've got and turn it around into something that is going to work for you. And we're all watching our pennies because the economic situation has been so difficult. Well, if you are a person that you find that you do a lot of impulse buying, well, why don't you take about 60 seconds and ask yourself, is this something really, really that I need? Now, the word reboot is a good one to use with this. Allow yourself to walk away from something and really ask, how do I truly feel about this? Am I looking at this big purchase, like a new plasma television or maybe a brand new car or something? Is this really what I want? Is this really what's significant for me? Let me think about it, because it will make a difference. And financial responsibility is something we all have to be accountable for. And you want to be sure that you trust your intuition. You need to really do research on various things before you make an investment. Don't hesitate to ask questions, and don't let other people talk you into doing things you really don't want to do. Sometimes we think so much about what it is that we're trying to figure out that we actually get ourselves all entangled in our mental spider webs. So it's a good idea to sort of take a break. And I often have suggested to people what a very good friend and client taught me many years ago. And that is, when your brain is absolutely going into a spin and you're just so anxious and so stressed, go wash windows. Go for a walk around the block. Scrub a floor or scrub a section of a floor. Whatever it is that you can do physically to break all of this mental noise so that you can really get in tune with yourself, settle down, and get those emotions so that they're stabilized. And just realize, you know what? You're not going to really put yourself in a bind. If you're patient and you take a few extra minutes to think things through, and maybe it might be a couple of days. You know, J. Paul Getty said in one of the articles that he wrote for Playboy magazine, I came across a book that was put together of articles that he wrote for Playboy. And this man was a billionaire plus, and he said he had learned that when it came to dealing with money or making major decisions, if something couldn't wait 24 hours, then he usually would say no. He said there are times when you're going to have to make fast decisions. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. There are those situations. But he said generally, if something can't wait, especially if someone's trying to make a deal with you or they're trying to put you into a real tight timeline, you need to back off so you can ask yourself the right kinds of questions so you can make decisions that are really going to assist you in getting facts. Not be sold just emotionally. Our intuition often can tell us something, but many times we don't hear that intuitive process because we're too close to the environment of hype or people pressuring you, wanting you to do certain things. So you need to be aware. You have got a lot going on in yourself that can work for you. Just don't be in a hurry. You're coming into a new year. I think you can take the time to make those decisions for yourself and make them effective. And make sure that you keep those dollars in your pocket so that they're working for you in the way you want them to work for you, not otherwise. Donna Sebo here. I've got a horoscope for you and all for 2010. We're going to be talking about Cancer, Leo, or Virgo, but we'll do that after we come back from the break. Give me a call if you'd like to chat on this New Year's Eve day, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Okay, for those of you under the sign of Cancer, Leo, and Virgo, this is a general overview for your year of 2010. And it's a great way to start out the new year, too. And this winter, by golly, your home fires, for those of them under the sign of Cancer, are going to be burning warmly. You are going to really be interested in taking the time to think things through and to explore unique and unusual opportunities, and maybe also to look at places that you would like to travel to that would be sort of out of the norm. When spring comes around, you are really going to be very focused. You've got some plans that you want to put into place, and your resolve for doing exactly what you need to do and getting those plans fulfilled, well, you're going to have everything you need. And what's going to even make it even better for you is you're not going to be fearful of exploring new avenues and opportunities for yourself, because you're just going to really keep your focus where it begins to make a difference at that time. Summer, you're going to have a great summer this year. And if you are prudent with your dollars, you're going to have some cash available that will enable you to take some time off and to do some of the things that are so much fun for you to experience during those warm months. In the fall of 2010, you're going to find that you are going to be appraising the relationships that are in your life, and you're going to be determining those that you want to give time to and those you don't want to give time to. You are going to not be afraid to take on new challenges and new associations with people. For those of you born under the sign of Leo, winter months, you're going to really focus on career. Finances also are going to be very much a center in your life, because you are determined that you're going to move forward, not backwards. In the spring, starting in the latter part of March, you are really going to be paying attention to your wellness, to how you budget your money, and what you can do to put yourself into that positioning of financial independence that you very much desire. As summer evolves, you're going to feel like your determination is paying off. You're going to see those dollars add up, and you are going to be just absolutely right there on target with what it is that you need to work with in your life and what you want to change, and figuring out what you need to do to bring those changes into full positioning. And in the fall, you're really going to want to sort of stay close to home in a way so that you can get everything in order there. If you have a house that needs to be readied for sale, this is the time when you're going to want to do some upgrading. You're going to want to do your repair work because you might want to put it on the market in 2011. So this is a time when you stage or look at how you're going to stage your home. Also, you may want to redecorate your residence. You might want to give it a fresh coat of paint. Fall is a great time for you to be able to pull things together, and you're going to be able to do it economically. For those of you born under the sign of Virgo, you've been under a great deal of stress. You have been very dedicated to getting certain projects done, and you're going to find that winter will enable you to bring things into completion as you desire. During the spring, working on a career or business direction is going to really start moving for you in the spring. Actually, a little bit more along towards the middle of the spring, you're going to find yourself probably around the latter part of April, seeing some really good steps moving forward for you. And then you're going to have a commitment to something that means a lot to you, and you're going to have to decide if you really want to go the long haul with it. And you're going to find that there's going to be that support from some people that really mean a lot, and they're going to tell you how much they believe in you, and that's going to enable you to make your choice of whether or not you're going to follow through and finish what you know you need to do. And there is an opportunity financially to really step up on a major level if you keep your commitment. Summertime, you have got a lot to do with money. There's just all kinds of stuff happening with you with money, and you need to be attentive. How do you work with it? How do you save it? What pattern do you want to utilize so that you're going to maintain your capital in the positioning that it should be in? And there's going to be plenty of opportunity for travel if you want it. But again, your economics, you need to really think about very carefully. And then in the fall of 2010, you're going to find that your home life, your love life, is really going to be very level, very stable, and you're going to feel very, very satisfied. I know that we're just about out of time here, so I'm going to give the rest of the, we'll be talking about Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces next week for the 2010 annual generalized horoscope. I wanted to share with you a concept that someone by the name of James gave, and I thought this really is a good exercise to do. A mental exercise just to set off a new year, just something to make a commitment to doing. He said, create a random act of kindness or beauty. This is what this man used to do. He used to type up little notes to his coworkers to point out moments when he saw them exhibiting good leadership skills, maybe new skills, being patient with someone, just something, a little something. And he said he'd slip the note into their mailbox without signing it and encourage them to do the same for someone else. He said, when you do something great for someone else and you do it anonymously, it makes intention have a whole new positioning in life. And he said, as often as you can do this, but if you put it down on paper so it can be seen as a reality. But that's also something you can do. You can be standing in line at a post office or in a meat market and maybe having conversation with someone or just smiling at somebody. That's a wonderful objective to be able to work with. And that little commitment of whether it's recognized by someone else or you do it anonymously like this gentleman did in his own work environment, just do it simply. You don't need any drama, and let the person savor the gift that you've given them. Isn't that great? I really like James' suggestion. This is Donna Siebel. I know that we're out of time. I want you to know tomorrow there will be a reprogramming of a particular show, as it is New Year's Day, and I will be with my family and friends, as you will be, and I wish you the very, very best. I'm so excited about the year 2010, because I know we're going to be bringing to BBS Radio some fabulous people who will have wonderful things to share with you. But more than that, 2010 is a year of wonderful opportunity. Regardless of what people are pushing out there, understand, one person can make a difference. You can be that one person. Live your life with an expectation of great possibilities and expectations, and you're going to have an influence on somebody, and that kind of ripple effect is never a bad thing to pass along. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous holiday weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday right here, same time, same place. This is Donna. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.